Book of Luke, chapter number 9. I want to share a very familiar verse, and you know, I constantly have to remind myself that the real change in a person's life, or the real potential for direction change, it doesn't lie within the teacher or the preacher's ability, but it lies within the ability of the Scriptures. And I was reminded of that today, how that it just takes one word, one verse, one paragraph, or book in its entirety of the Bible, and God knows how to direct, and He knows how to speak, and He knows how to, while one on one side of the room may be experiencing clear direction in their life, one on the other side of the room may be experiencing some mild rebuking from the Lord. And it's just amazing how God knows how to put it all together and speak to everyone. Book of Luke, chapter number 9, and verse number 23. Again, very familiar portion of Scripture. He says in verse 23, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." I want to share tonight a lesson entitled, "The Road Less Traveled." The Road Less Traveled. And I believe tonight, I'm sure you would agree, that the Christian road, following the Lord, it's a narrow way. Not a lot of people are following the Lord. In fact, the Scriptures say, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting." And so there's a road tonight that we're all traveling. And when we look in the perspective, a very wide perspective of the world, again, some are on a wide road. They have many things that they're involved with in the world sense. There's many, if you would, fancies of life and carnal lust that they're engaging in. It's about me, myself, and I. And there's no the American dream, you know, aim high and go for it. Anything you want, you can be. Well, then there's the road less traveled. And the road less traveled is a road that it has a leader on the road. And it has a guide on the road. The road less traveled is a road where there is, I'm not going to say the word dictator, because he doesn't make anybody, Jesus doesn't make anybody come to Him, but He asked, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden." And but nonetheless, it's a narrow road, and we have a leader on this road, and it's a road that has restrictions. But I want to say that it's a road that has restrictions because God has the best in mind for us. And He wants to protect us. I think about the old movie, The Wizard of Oz. And I don't know all the characters, and they're on their way to the castle. I don't think it's called a castle, but to see Oz or whatnot. And they're all talking about lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and all these kind of things, and come what may. And but the truth be known, that's how it is in the Christian life, that there are wolves out there. There's lions, there's tigers, there's bears. And the Lord is our shepherd. He leads us at times by still waters. He leads us at times into green pastures. There's times of restoration in our life. The Bible says He restores our soul. And so tonight in Luke chapter number 9, I want you to notice that He is addressing the 12 disciples, verse 1. And he talks about, look if you would at verse number 1 down through verse number 5. "Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Let me say this, that first of all, there's a specific gift here that's done away with. The gift of the gift of curing diseases and those visible gifts, those were a sign gift to the unbelieving Jew. And the apostles possessed them. In verse number 2, he says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. So already he's commissioning them and addressing some things. Shake off the dust of your feet. Don't let it get to you. Leave on a good note. They could have left on a bad note. And think about it. When someone rejects you or rejects me, that doesn't settle well with me. Because, I mean, there's a spiritual side, the Holy Spirit in me and in Holy Spirit in you. But also there's a carnal side. There's a fleshly side. Oh, you slammed the door in my face? Oh, hold on now. Well, he tells them to shake off the dust of their feet for a testimony against them. Leave them with the woe and not you, in other words. All right, you leave a good testimony. And so he's talking his way through these things and preparing them. And then there's the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, verse number 10, down to verse number 22. But notice verse number 22, what he says. Or verse 21, then 22. It says, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Then look at verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me. Let me stop right there. So hold on just a minute, Jesus. Jesus said this in verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain. Then he says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me. That don't sound like a very nice, comfortable road to be on. In fact, in John, and I love saying this verse because it's so true and just the Bible numerology to it, John 6:66. And at that time, many went back and followed him no more. They saw where this thing was going. Of course, in the text there, Jesus had performed miracles in the other Gospels, and then he started to preach on the bread of life and why he was really here to die in the synagogues, and many people got offended. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were getting ready to really take Jesus to task. And those disciples, they walked away and said, hey, we don't want no part of this. Jesus turned to Peter, and he said to Peter, will ye also go away? And Peter said, Lord, you have the words to eternal life. Where else can I go? And I'm reminded of that song of our church hymn, where could I go but to the Lord? And so we have in verse number 22, Jesus is saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected and be slain. But the third day I will rise again. In verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, the road less traveled. The road less traveled. Now, we desire to travel this road because Jesus put that desire within us. And in spite of its restrictions, and we desire to be restricted. We don't desire the things of the flesh, although we wrestle with the flesh because we're still in this world. We don't desire to fulfill. There's no way we can live a happy Christian life living in the flesh, and so we strive to hit the target of holiness. And it's a road less traveled. It's a narrow road. But I want to mention four things out of verse number 23. Four simple things when it comes to this road that's less traveled. And the Lord uses four words here, and I want to try to mention those words tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to all of us. Number one, there's the word devotion. Devotion. Look at verse 23. He says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, notice these next two words, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, if you're going to come after me and follow me on this road, then you're going to have to be intentional in your devotion. I'm not going to make you follow me. Your neighbor's not going to get you up every day and put a Bible in front of you and make you follow Jesus. But you have to be intentional, is what he's saying. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And so there's a level of devotion here to travel this road that is less populated. It speaks of devotion. It speaks of one being intentional. Let me say this. The Christian must be intentional. Following Jesus doesn't happen automatically. Victory doesn't come by mistake or unintentional. But if we're going to have a victorious Christian life tonight, it only happens by being intentional. And so he says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come without pain. It's not going to come without intention or without, what am I trying to say? Anyway, it's not going to come freely. It's going to cost us something. We're in Luke 9. Turn to the Old Testament for a moment, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 121. Psalm 121. Notice David knew a little bit about being intentional. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalm 121, verse 1. Notice the first two words here, what David says in Psalm 121, verse 1. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And he goes on and on all the way down to verse number 8. But it starts off with, I will. David said, I cannot sit around with my head in my hands waiting to be encouraged. The enemy is after me. There's adversaries. There's footmen that are with the enemy. He says, the entourages of the world that are after me are too big. He says, I will. You know, sometimes in life I think maybe all of us struggle with this from time to time. We kind of hope something might come through and happen, whatever the case may be. Or we may have a cloud of despair over our heads. Or, you know, we may be discouraged about something. And then maybe there's a hope. Well, I just hope something will come through. And I hope this will just pass off of me. And maybe to some extent, some of that cloud will depart from you. But if we want to have victory and follow the Lord, it's going to have to be intentional. There's a devotion that's involved. David said again, I will lift up mine eyes. But notice where he's lifting up his eyes. Unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, some commentators have said, and I pretty much agree with what they're saying the hills are in reference to, talking about the temple on Mount Zion, where the temple was. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. In other words, I will look into the place where God's presence is, and I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He says in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And now in verse number 2, he's moving his eyes from Temple Mount there. In verse number 2, it's now on the Creator. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David said this, my victory is not going to happen by mistake. Therefore, I will be intentional, I will be devoted, and I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And then he said in verse number 2, And while I'm lifting up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, I am keeping in mind that I'm lifting up my eyes to the one who made heaven and earth, to the creator of the world. And I believe in the heart and the mind of David, he is thinking about how God had created all things, heaven and earth, and even the hills and the valleys. And he was thinking about God's presence. And David said, I have no reason to hang my head in sorrow and hang my head in fear. He said, it may be a little painful, maybe a little uncomfortable, but if something is going to change, I've got to do it. How many times in life have we said that? Have we been there? I know I have. My health for the longest time has been bad, been going downhill. At least I felt that way. Got cleared of all my heart tests and all that's been fine. But, you know, nobody's going to get healthy for me. Nobody can. I mean, it doesn't matter who's working out tonight. It doesn't matter who's dieting and eating right. If I'm not doing it, I'm not going to get better. And so there's going to be some devotion involved if things are going to get better. Those times in life where we just are waiting on a miracle. Lord might be waiting on you. Lord might be waiting on me tonight to get to that place where we trust in his word, where, as David says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Maybe tonight in our situation, in our capacity, in our way of thinking, let's just get our eyes off the situation and the struggle and look upon the Lord as creator God. He made heaven and earth. He can deal with my situation. He's big enough. And so we see that David is moving his focus. In verse 3 he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God's not on lunch break. He doesn't sleep at night. You know, while we're sleeping, he's awake. While we're working, he's awake. He doesn't get lazy and slothful. But his eyes are always on all things, beholding everything in this entire world. Verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I believe verse number 5 speaks about God giving ability and strength to continue on, to work with your hands and do what you need to do. He's thy shade. He cools and he comforts the areas we need cool and comforted to move on and be productive. In verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Talking about protection, leaving your home and coming back. And so we said all those things to simply say this, that there's a level of devotion back in Luke chapter number 9 in verse 23. We have to be intentional on this road less traveled. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And so we see devotion here. The first word has to do with devotion. But then there's a second word, and that word is denial. Denial. He says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And so we know, first of all, that we have to be intentional in our devotion. We know this is something we have to do daily. We know it's something that has to come. And there may be pain and discomfort along with it. But we have to deny ourselves. Now, the word denial here, it means to disown. It also means to abandon. Think about that. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him abandon himself. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him disown himself. That's tough language about one's life. That's why it's a road less traveled. That's why the gate is narrow and the road is narrow, the path. And that's why the other gate is wide and it's a wide road because of all the luxuries and all the all the fancies of life and enjoyments and pleasures is that most people are on that wide road. But the end result of that is destruction. And we know the end result of ours is glory. But he says, deny thyself. He says there must be a personal abandonment to self. We need to disown ourselves, is what he's saying. Look down in verse number 24. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And what this is in verse number 24 is what they call a paradox. A paradox. It's where there's two statements made that are similar, but yet they're opposite. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. The natural way of thinking is if you save your life, you're going to have it. But when it comes to following the Lord, he's saying that if you save your life and you care about home and the comforts of the world, at the very end, you're definitely going to lose the comforts, and you're definitely going to lose your possessions, and ultimately be in hell if you're not a believer. But whosoever will lose his life, deny himself, abandon himself, disown himself, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And so he blends in a paradox here. He's telling us to not save or care about what the world cares about and the world system and what they hang on to and the stock that they put up in this life. And it's pointing all to the very reason and the very fact of following Jesus and abandon self. Over in 2 Timothy, turn if you would for a moment to 2 Timothy 4 to the right. We were here the other Sunday night preaching on the closing days of Paul's life, but 2 Timothy 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And I mentioned this man that Sunday night. Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. He's talking about the man Demas and how Demas was with Paul. I mean, he was there and he was Paul's co-laborer and his friend. But he also knew that this thing was narrowing down in Paul's life. And Paul was getting ready to take stand with Nero prosecuting him. He was getting ready to lose his head. And so Demas, the Bible says, having loved this present world, that he departed unto Thessalonica. He went home. He went home because of what was at stake. And he went home because he would have probably been a martyr for Jesus. Now, I said that to say this, that back in Luke 9, verse number 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him abandon himself. Let him disown. Now, if Demas really, really, he started well, Demas did, but he didn't finish well. But if Demas would have followed all the way, and if Demas was concerned about finishing well as he started well, then all would have been well. But you see, Demas fell into one of these, one of these verses, verse number 23, there at the end, verse number 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, back in Luke 9. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That was Demas. He started well. He didn't finish well. He followed Jesus all the way. And I mean, humanly speaking, I don't want to lose my head on a chop block. Do you? I mean, hey. And who knows what we as individuals would have done if we got to that place. I mean, really, you're looking back here and you got your family on the front porch at the house and they're all crying and upset. And, you know, and here's this little older man, and he's frail and he's weak and been preaching the gospel, got saved, and everybody's against him. And but you know that that's the way God really wants you to go, to follow him all the way. What are you going to do? Because, you see, we're living for a world to come and not the world we're living in now. And but who knows? I hope that I would have been faithful like Paul. And maybe only time will tell. Hope it don't come to that. But the way America's going, it sure may. Demas started well, but he didn't finish well. There needs to be denial. There needs to be personal abandonment, disowning of oneself. Notice a third word. Not only devotion, denial, but there's the word depart in verse number 23, Luke 9. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him intentionally be devoted. Let him abandon or disown himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I use the word depart here because if you look the word depart, or if you look the words take up in its entirety, those two words under, of course, there's many definitions it gives, but if you look at those two words, take up, it's through the idea of something being lifted. And also under the definition take up, it says to lift, but in quotation marks, it also says to sail away or take up anchor even. It means to move on. It means to take up anchor. It means to lift. It means to sail away. And then look at the words, his cross. Well, we know the cross is a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of shame, the cross is. But then he says, his cross. It's a personal cross. I was thinking today that we carry a personal cross every day. We all have our different levels and varieties of suffering and things we deal with and on a daily basis. And so he says that if we're going to follow the Lord, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his suffering. The shame, the suffering is an element in taking up the cross. And we know the cross is where Jesus was crucified. This is the crucible. This is the daily crucifying of the flesh. And many times it's the idea of taking up anchor, of sailing away, or to lift. Now, it's a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of shame. It's a personal cross. But then notice something else. He uses the word daily here, daily. I wish tonight that we would, the time we got saved, called on Jesus, that would have been it. Been empowered to live the Christian life and no more struggling, no more fretting or worrying about anything. But no, that's not the case at all because he uses the word daily. He says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross or lift anchor daily and follow me. This is a daily commitment following the Lord. You know that. It's a daily thing. It's step by step. It's day by day. It's week by week. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. He doesn't physically die daily unless he resurrected daily. we spiritually, we die daily to the flesh, and then when we die daily, what happens when you die? What happened to Jesus when he died? He was resurrected. And tonight we need resurrecting power. And you see, there's always a resurrection, at least in Jesus' economy, there's a resurrection after death. And so spiritually speaking, God will enable us to follow him. He will give us resurrecting power when we die daily. And so Paul speaks of that in 1 Corinthians 15:31. But also in Matthew 6, chapter 6, and verse number 11, this is the model prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the model prayer for believers. And in that prayer, he says, give us our daily bread. You see, there's bread that comes from heaven daily. God provides daily. And then, of course, in Psalm 119:105, The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Daily walking, daily talking, daily denial of self, daily taking up our cross and following him, the road less traveled. It's a daily thing. Paul said, I die daily. The Lord has daily bread for us. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses was leading the children of Israel, it was a cloud by day and fire by night. So there's a daily walk here. In Psalm 119, 105, referring to the word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This speaks of direction daily. Then in Matthew 6:11, our daily bread and the model prayer speaks of provision. And then when Paul said, I die daily, in 1 Corinthians 15:31, this speaks of sacrifice. And so daily, there needs to be sacrifice, and then there will be provision and direction. All of these things tonight out of verse number 23 of chapter 9 in Luke. Look one more time with me, verse 22. Of Luke 9. He says, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And it's like he says, oh yeah, and this men. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. The road less traveled. Just those four words tonight. Devotion, denial, depart, and then the word daily. And so we'll close the lesson with that tonight. You know, it may be a road less traveled, but the Lord can populate that road. And that all lies and hinges upon us sharing the gospel. It's a blessed road. For in the book of Philemon, for Onesimus, God blessed his broken road. What kind of road are you on tonight? Is it a hard road? And if it is, if there's times of suffering you're going through, well, I just read to you what the Lord's recipe is, in other words, following him and living a life of victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love tonight. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you do. And although we were brief tonight, Lord, I know that, again, your word doesn't return void. And Father, I pray that you'd use this lesson tonight as only you can and as you seem fit. And Lord, let us all be safe and return back to church safely on Sunday. And we'll be careful to praise you for everything you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're out early. Doesn't happen often, but we'll take advantage of it. Anything?